If you can take a seat, that'd be great. Unfortunately, you're going to have to deal with me for the next, I don't know, 20 minutes. So, that'll be great, because you'll get out early and I'll be your favorite speaker of the week. Awesome. It's good to have you here. My name's Ryan. I do youth things and stuff around here at the church. We're gonna talk about our Crazy Love book here by Francis Chan, which has been a really great read. So we're on chapter 3, which is conveniently called Crazy Love. Wow, that's powerful. You know, there are a few toys that have really stood the test of time, right? When you think about the toys you played with as a kid and the toys your current kids play with or your grandkids or whatever, some toys have just really stood the test of time. You think of the Barbie doll that's not quite proportionate. You think of Thomas the Train. Who owns Thomas the Train here? Just a show of hands. Yeah, see, everyone, pretty much. Thomas the Train, right? It puts a dent in the wallet, but it's high-quality craftsmanship. And so we continue to buy that stuff. But there is one toy that reigns supreme. Lego. Lego reigns supreme. In toy maker history, nothing compares to the little square blocks of Lego. I love Lego. And so I've been trying to influence Levi and Caden to love Lego, so I've almost kind of forced it upon them. And any good parent with boys would do that. Because you know that as a 30-year-old, you could never, ever play enough Lego. And so, yes, when I found out that the summer of 2012, Lord of the Rings was coming to Lego, I was like, I need to get on this now. Right? So then this past week, I took up my old Lego box I had gotten from my mom. I took it upstairs, and Levi had a few other Lego things, but I knew there was something that was going to just rock his world, right? So I took up my Lego box upstairs. I opened the box up, and he's like, there's a Lego boat? And I'm like, yes, Levi, there is a Lego boat. Would you like some more Lego? He's like, yes, absolutely, I want more Lego. And so yesterday we took them to a store on the West End that has like the second other thing that this store is amazing. It's called Wayne Sports Cards. If you've never been there if you just want to go back to your childhood with like hockey cards and like sports memorabilia, I mean, it's just unreal. And so it's a small little store, and it's beautiful. And they help us out with like stuff for Stanley Cup of Beaumont and things. So it's just a really great place to take your child, because they have this long aisle of just Lego. And so I brought Levi and Kate in there on Saturday, and I'm like, just pick whatever you want within a price range. And so, you know, they're walking down the aisle, and of course, you know, kids, like, they take the biggest one. They're like, I want the, no, that's like your Christmas and your birthday gift combined for 2 years. You can't have that Lego set. Levi picked out this, like, this space shuttle, because he has another space one he got for Christmas from, I can't remember, like, I think his cousin or something. And so he picks up this space shuttle. And then Caden, of course, like, he picked out this big Cars one, right? And I'm like, no, Caden, why don't you just pick out a little car? And so he picks out Finn McMissile. And we take to the register, and they're just so excited about Legos. And they we even bought them, like, these little Lego minifigures you can collect now. They're really, really awesome. And it's really cool, right? And we're just like, I'm beside myself, right? I'm just like, this is going to be the best afternoon ever, right? We're going to go home. We're going to go with Caden down for his nap. Me and Levi are going to make the shuttle, and Caden's going to wake up. Then we're going to make Finn McMissile, and we're just going to have the best time ever, right? And it was true. We did have the best time ever. So we did. We went home, and we did exactly, it was just a plan. It was just beautiful, right? So we put Caden down, and Levi just wants to build the shuttle, right? So I'm teaching him, like, Levi, you got to do the instructions, right? And I'm just giving this awesome gift to my son, right? Like, just being a great dad. I just felt like I had it all together in that moment, right? Like, I'm just, this is what you strive to do as a parent. Give your son just a gift for no reason other than to indoctrinate him for Lego. But isn't it true that, you know, as parents, we love to give. As grandparents, we love to give gifts to our kids. We love it. I mean, it's just awesome. We don't need an excuse. Grandparents especially don't need an excuse, right? They just kind of buy stuff for your kids because it brings joy to their life. And we just love to give good gifts to our kids. You know, so I was just in the zone yesterday. You know, it was just Lego. And it seemed so simple. Like, really, like, when you look at Lego, it kind of seems just so simple. Small little blocks that you put together, and it brings so much joy to a little child's face. And maybe you're picturing a different toy when you were growing up that you played with. You know, girls play with Barbies, and it's just such a simple concept. Right? But as parents, we just love to give those gifts. We love to give gifts to our children. You know, we even like to give gifts to our children even when they kind of don't deserve it. So we wake up in the morning yesterday. Levi's a little cranky. So, you know, you start saying, Levi, if you don't smarten up, we're not going to go to the Lego store. No, knowing full well, I was headed to the Lego store that day. You know, I mean, that was an empty threat. Like, I mean, this it was going to happen regardless. But, you know, you're kind of saying, Levi, you want to start? And he just wouldn't calm down. At one point, we're like, Levi, you know what? We'll go to the Lego store and we'll just send you to Grandma's. He's like, well, send me to Grandma's. I want to go to Grandma's. So I said, we're driving down 50th. And I said, this kid does not deserve Lego today. But we're going. We're going as a family. It's family day weekend, and we're going to do this, right? And he didn't really deserve it in the moment. But you know what? I broke the rule. I said, you know what? Levi doesn't really deserve the gift, but I'm going to get it for him anyways. I know that's bad parenting, okay? I recognize that's not good parenting, but I didn't care. Why? Because I love my son, and my son needs Lego, okay? We love to give our kids gifts. We love to give gifts even when sometimes they don't deserve it. And life is kind of the same way. Isn't it true that life's kind of the same way? That there are things in our life that we get that we don't really deserve. We don't really deserve. You know, it's interesting that we're born into a country that is just, when you look at kind of the scope and the landscape of the world, looks so stable. You know, we're born into Canada, it's just such a stable environment for the most part, and we're not too worried about that. And it seems like it's just this gift given to us. Like if life was kind of a lottery, we really did kind of win, didn't we? We kind of just won the lottery. When we were born in Canada, you know, we won. And it was such a gift given to us. And sometimes I look at that and I say, you know, I really didn't deserve this. What makes my life so much different, so much more special than anybody else in the world that maybe wasn't born into such a circumstance? And I realize that there's this tremendous responsibility with being born in a country like Canada. We almost have everything given to us. But sometimes it just feels maybe like there's something missing. sometimes I look at the way we kind of struggle with stuff, and you think, like, you would think that we'd have it all together at this point. You know, we're given all the education we need. We're given all the opportunity to succeed. We're giving everything in life. And sometimes it just feels like maybe we take advantage of the gifts that we're given. Do you remember that time in your life? If you followed God for any amount of time, do you remember that time when you actually felt the unconditional love of God? Do you remember that moment? Do you remember that moment when you felt that non-judgmental, crazy love of God? When you kind of knew that you didn't really deserve it, but you really appreciated it? Where you knew that this kind of love that God gives us was special. It wasn't like anything else. It wasn't any love that you could find on earth, but it was kind of just, it couldn't be duplicated, it couldn't be replicated in any way, but it was just this unconditional love of God. And it was immense and it was powerful. This simple truth of the love of God, doesn't it kind of, though, seem overplayed at times in our church? You know, I say the love of God, and you're probably like, yeah, blah, 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 okay, Jesus loves me, yes, I know. For the Bible tell me something I don't know. Sing something I haven't sung before. Yeah, love, okay, yeah, Jesus loves me, thank you. Wow, I woke up this morning to come to church to hear Ryan talk about the love of God. I mean, when haven't we heard this before? Like, really? Jesus loves me. Okay, we know. Can we get on with it? And sometimes we miss the simplicity of the love of God. We miss the simplicity of it. You know, and sometimes in life we get so bogged down with our past experiences with love. So maybe we grew up in an environment where mom or dad didn't show the love that we required. And so we equate that with God's love. And we say, you know, I can't picture God as a loving father because I didn't have one. And Chan references that in the book. He talks about his dad and the struggles that he had with his relationship with dad and we kind of think, you know, I resonate with him in that because I had a dad that I didn't really get along. I mean, he didn't love me the way I thought a dad should. And so we can attach God's experiences with our past experiences, and maybe we put up walls and we say, you know what, I understand God maybe loves us, but I just don't really want to go there because I've never had an experience of true love. And we look at God and we kind of just say, you know, I understand that you say you love me, yeah, but maybe for you love is hurtful. And maybe the simplicity of this message is too simple for you to understand because it's so hard for you to accept. See, the reality of God's love is so captivating. It's so captivating. The fact that God would love us so much is the greatest gift we could ever get. When God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5 of the book of Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as prophet to the nations. You see, this word knew, that Chan also references, this scripture reference, this word knew, isn't just kind of a casual acquaintance, kind of like, I know that person, they know me, kind of thing. The word new here, that I knew you before you were born, was this intimate new. That I know you. That I created you before you ever were physical bodied on this earth. Wow. No one can say that about anybody. It just is this desire. It's this first person to ever know you was God. The first person to know you was God. That seems so simple, but sometimes so hard to grasp. You see, God says he places eternity in the hearts of men, which means he places this desire for God before you were ever born. I think that is the most reassuring thought someone could ever give someone else. That just is amazing to me. And so we experience this love, this unfathomable, just this unconditional love. And what does that do for us? When we experience that, so when we become a Christ follower and we say, you know what, I want to experience this love of God, what does that love of God do in turn for us? It makes us show his love to others. It makes us show his love to others. You see, God chooses to use us, and isn't that an incredible thought? Just think about this love for a minute. The fact that we're all guilty. We're guilty against God, and we're guilty against each other. You look at the scope of humanity over centuries, and you can tell that we're guilty against each other for doing some of the most brutal things to each other as humans. And so we're all kind of guilty. We all kind of share in that sin. But God, in his infinite grace, sent Jesus Christ to take the weight of sin on the cross to make a way for us to be reconciled to God. A great story that illustrates this is found in Luke chapter 7. If you have your Bibles or your iPhone, or if, unfortunately, you still use a BlackBerry, grab your Bible app there. I mean, it's sad but true. I'm just kidding. And we read of a story of Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. And it's an interesting story because this woman comes to Jesus and she starts to basically wash Jesus' feet with perfume and all these things. And there's some interesting thoughts about this scripture because there's so much in this little story. For one, the woman shouldn't have been there. She shouldn't have been there. And so the way that banquets kind of worked was if you were kind of famous or you were important, you would have a banquet and then people would kind of just come and watch you. They wouldn't partake in the banquet necessarily. They would just come and watch the important people talk. So you could basically get invited to watch somebody talk. So it'd be like really boring, right? But people like this. But this woman wouldn't have been invited. So she kind of makes her way in and she just starts kind of washing Jesus' feet. And in one part of the scripture, Simon, who's hosting, kind of, he gets in trouble from the, he kind of says a few words and Jesus kind of talks to him back and forth. But I want to just talk about one particular verse, 47. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Now, the important thing to recognize is that her sins were forgiven first. You see, love isn't the cause of the forgiveness here. So in this scripture, people think, oh, well, you know, you just love and you're kind of forgiven. No, that's not how it was working. That's not how it worked. Love isn't the cause of the forgiveness. It's the effect of forgiveness. Love is the effect of our forgiveness through Christ. So when we're forgiven as Christ's followers, then we are able to love as Christ loved. Scripture says in Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Do you have peace this morning? Have you forgotten the craziness of God's love in your life? This simple, unbridled love of God in your life. You see, no matter what the circumstance is in our life, through Christ, he gives us strength. Through his love, we are able to face tomorrow, today, or whatever that may be. How is that love? How has God's love changed your life? You see, when we realize the immensity and craziness of love that God has shown us and given to us, we can't help but show others. I'm not talking about grabbing our soapbox, head out, you know, down to the corner with a bullhorn, you know, with our pocket full of condemnation and just start going crazy. I'm talking about a love that people recognize as different. What a simple, simple message. And how quickly we forget it. How quickly we forget that God loves us. That he chose us. That we are his children. You see, this love changes everything. You know, it changes the way we react to our children when they're just kind of it kind of changes our reaction when the guy cuts us off on the highway and we just want to give him one of those. Right? It changes our complete view of humanity. This love gives us peace and hope. I hope you leave here today feeling inspired by the love of God, feeling inspired about the peace you can have through the love of God, inspired with the comfort of the love of God, inspired with the joy from the love of God. It's that love that motivates us. It's that love that changes the course of our life and changes the course of people who are far from God's lives. That's a love that we can all have, that you can have this morning. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your love. And sometimes it's too simple, it's too easy. There's not enough words to describe this love that you have for us. And sometimes it's hard for us to really even believe that this love is not like nothing we experience in an earthly relationship, but it really is this spiritual experience with you, one-on-one, so close, so intimate, so relational. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us regardless of where we're at, regardless of what we've done, regardless of what our past looks like. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I told you it was 20, and it was 24, so. I hope you leave here today experiencing that love. Tomorrow, when you wake up in the morning, I hope that you realize the love of God in your life. Stick around for our Vancouver fundraiser lunch. It's going to be really good. There's 25 youth going. So, frankly, we could use all the money we could get. No, it's going to be a great trip. I calculated the hours that we're probably going to do. And with 32 of us going, it's going to be over 1,200 volunteer hours in about a week. So our youth are going to do a great job. So come and support us, would you? Just stay for lunch, and it's going to be really great, really fun time to connect. And so, yeah, have a great week.